Where do you live?
I'm out here in Florida right now.
Ooh, what part?
Yeah, the Punta Gorda area, like over by a little bit closer towards like Cape Coral and like the Sarasota area.
Yeah.
You know.
I was born in Daytona Beach, so I love it.
Really?
Yep.
Oh my goodness.
I love Florida.
Yeah, Florida is really nice. I came here to help out family and kind of got stuck out. It was a I'm stuck out here kind of decision. It was half decision, half stuck. We were previously living in Atlanta where it was more busy. And, you know, I was like, because I live in pretty much a retirement area. In Atlanta, it's go, go, go. You're meeting content creators. Everyone's working on their comic books and all that stuff. So you can end up in some interesting environments there. Here, I feel like I'm just in constant production mode. Not so much. I'm just now getting more into the networking side of things and finding, like, when you find one person, it's like they're like the golden nugget because it's like so far in between. So community is so important out here, which is probably my lesson right now, to understand the value of community. So I'm embracing that. And, you know, I understand, like, getting that first issue out, the jealousy behind it. And for me, it was more or less like understanding that you have the potential. You just got to let it, like, if everyone else is crossing that hump or, you know, passing that threshold of not doing it into doing it, why can't you? You know what I mean? If you have a love for it. So, and that's I resonate with that. And, you know, I got my first issue. It's not really an issue. It's an ash can. And I made an ash can. The one that you read, it's an ash can, but I treat it like gold because for the comic book community, I felt that it's important to cherish. And as we already do, we cherish ash cans, but, you know, the well-aged ones, you know. But I still feel like today as creators, we can, like, I honor the VHS tapes. Like, I have a VHS player. You know what I mean? Like, I honor the vintage world. And so I'm looking at the ash can as something to appreciate. So how I sell it and how I pitch it to the world is, you know, a proof of concept, but as a collectible, because it's a part of a vision and a plan where I've restricted it to a point where we won't get access to this this format, this style. Some of the characters are a little bit off. It's a proof of concept. You know what I mean? It's like, it works to a degree. It works to a degree. And then I make switches that are necessary. You know what I mean? And we all know how it works. You know what I mean? That's that kind of stuff we all love. We love seeing what we, you know, we love having the pure, authentic, clean cut version of things before it transformed into something else. And I know that I want to be a part of that and I want to offer that. So that's how I stage the ash can, you know, but I noticed that a lot of people are unaware of what an ash can is. So, I didn't know. I went to a comic book
store.
There's
very few of them now. Yeah.
Yeah. So let alone, I have fun. I think like, you know, but sometimes I stage the ash can as a 00 issue. And I'm rolling out issue 0. And the idea behind this comic that I'm working on is called Jack and the Journey Starseed Ascension. It was going to be your typical, like, Percy Jackson novel series. You know what I mean? It was gonna have deep lore, and, you know, it was gonna be a fantasy epic. And so there, you know, typically there's prologues and stuff like that. So I was like, how can I bite-size this down? And that's been my battle. Should I write this or should I illustrate it, right? And then my career in storytelling started off as a novelist. So I initially, I published, I have children's books and I have novels, right, that I've written. And the comic book itself, I have chapters that I've rolled out for this comic book. And I went back. I went all over the place. I released animation concepts, chapter concepts. I graphic novel concepts with different tones. So we're looking at more like slapstick Adventure Time type of Nickelodeon, more American style, you know. And then, but I wanted to do that because I was measuring out. I was measuring the difference between the high contrast, soft, animated, highly acceptable to children tone to carry on that deep, philosophical undertone so that it's more digestible. So the ratio between the two visually versus, thematically speaking. So I found my sweet spot between, like, you know, I have not watched all of One Piece or anything, but like looking at One Piece and looking at like Samurai Jack, I'm looking at like the stylistic choices and the themes that come along with them and how the audience takes to the themes in ratio to the stylistic choice. So mapping out how the styles look and the versus the depth of the story, I had free range to choose how I wanted to communicate that, my body of work, and which best represented me. So I was like, okay, I want to do something where I don't have to always over-articulate the knuckles and the fingers, right? I don't want it to be so well-constructed in detailed in a way where it bores me and that I'm doing it. Like, I know comic books are, it's for the art, but between like the coloring and the illustrations and the motifs, I think that's why sequential art is so important, because in the panels, we're looking at what is telling the story, and that brings us close. And if we can see what's telling the story in the artwork, we appreciate the art more. So, you know, and I've seen some art where I've seen some art that like Mouse, I think it's MAUSE, the book that's been banned, that graphic novel Mouse, where the guy interviewed his father or grandfather. It was a book about the Holocaust and stuff like that. You know, it's dense, you know, the theme is there. It's heart-wrenching in a sense. And it won all types of prizes. And, you know, the style is not like berserk, you know? It doesn't, the weight of the theme does not match the articulation of full-on anatomy and all that kind of stuff that would stand out to someone as, you know, a masterpiece. So for me, I'm saying this because for me, navigating my own balance of what I would consider a masterpiece, right, is where my masterpiece is where the message of the story is well communicated and that message is also clear visually. And if they harmonize, I feel like I'm translating over, you know, a decent body of work. And I try to stay focused. I try to stay focused on that being my target in illustrating, because, you know, as artists, it's like, dang, I'm going super traditional about it. You know what I mean? I'm going traditional because, like, when I was here in Florida, we stayed in an RV in the back of our grandfather, my father-in-law's house, right? And I'm in the RV and my iPad is broken. Like, all the digital stuff is just not available, right? So I grab, you know, I get some paper and, you know, I get my tools and I just start crafting at it. And, you know, it's like, it's that battle between how we're in a time period, ironically, where everything needs to get done faster. And I'm choosing to freaking Flintstone my car, you know what I mean? Like, so that ate at me a little bit. But when I started posting my work, I saw an appreciation for it. I think people are appreciating that you can make a choice to slow down in a world that's like moving at 100 miles per hour. I think there's bravery in that. It's a noble act, honestly, at this point, to
100%
to breathe. You hear me? So yeah, I'm even choosing to, and the thing is too, I'll go ahead and learn on the job, which I think is important as well, because I'm using Indian, like the dip pen, to work at it, which was a big fear of mine, because, like, you know, of course we can correct it and like paint over and stuff, but the idea is to make as less mistakes as possible in my case. And, you know, I would like that, but I say, if I document this well enough, mistakes can only be a part of the journey, and it won't be so much about release, but the authenticity of how it's unraveling. Because we're in a world, once again, where in 10 seconds, we can see someone complete, like I could tell you in 10 seconds and show you hyper clips of how I completed my comic book, and it can add false hope to someone, even subconsciously, because like there's so, like, my dog chewed off half of like the corner of one of my original pieces, and I had to take a couple of days to digest that. I couldn't adjust immediately. I was like, I gotta redo this page, and we had a family meeting right about it. You know what I mean? My wife and my kids, we all got together like when they tell you that you have a problem kind of thing. And we got around right together, and we're just like, listen, like, we shouldn't redo this page, because it's a part of the experience. Like, sure, it's chewed up, but when you go to conventions, you can tell people about it. And the fact that you persevered through it, kept the image, and, you know, with the, we scanned it in, and it just worked out, ironically, in the ash can. It's a part of the ash can now. You know what I mean? So even in the corner, if you see it all chewed up, no one will mention it. So I also learned how personal I make things. When to the mass, no one will notice the mistakes I make, unless I.
And it's a cool Easter egg.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you would really have to listen to this. You would have to listen to this podcast, or go back to the video that I made where I kind of like subtly broke down about it and was just like, this happened. And, you know, I have a Great Dane Husky who stole the show on that one. You know what I mean? It's all white. And, you know, she, you know, and so she made the highlight, you know, she made headlines right there. But yeah, persevering through that, it's like, yes, being an artist is like wicked cool. Telling a story is wicked cool. Like, I can say it's not about the validation, but when you get validation without asking for it, it feels good. You know, it's like you make food. When you make food and they're like, that tastes good. I'm like, thank you for appreciating it. Yeah. So it's not like a hunt to heal a wound that no one ever gave you kind of thing. But it's like, we don't have to go seeking for it, but the appreciation shows that there's testimony there. And so, you know, I say that to say that when you're creating your story, what is undermined and not shown in the day-to-day TikTok realm and is the journey of wanting to, like, the journey of the struggle, you know what I mean? And how much of that is the artist, you know what I mean? The creator is the person that is transforming through strife and struggle. So it's like, what we get out of that defines us more as a creative, because we found a solution around it. We imagined our way out of it and applied ourselves. And, you know, there's always the crossroads. We just watched the crossroads on, you know, the crossroads where the boy from The Karate Kid, he meets with the guy who sells his soul to the devil to be the best blues player.
Right.
You know,
Karate
Kid. You know, and that movie hit me because it's like it put emphasis on someone working the 9-to-5 and having a dream. And, you know, it's the cliche classic late 90s feeling of, I want to grow up, I want to be somebody, but I'm stuck here at this job. You know what I mean? And then, like, it's so well structured that if you feel like it's possible to move through that storyline of just, you know what I mean? You know, granted, that was created at a time where you didn't have like affiliate marketing or, you know, like brand ability connecting with brands. And you know what I mean? Like right now I'm thinking, I'm like, okay, I use Micron. How can I reach out to, I want to reach out to Micron. I have a couple of videos that went viral just using my, my Graph Gear pencil. And I'm thinking like, how can I, you know, have these relationships? But I know like in the 90s, you know, cause my parents would be like, oh, don't become an artist. Mind you, my dad's a musician, but it's like, oh, don't really emphasize on that because you won't make any money. And, at a time when you're not really thinking about becoming financially stable, you're thinking about how to develop a voice earlier on and identity. You know what I mean? It's like a kid. You have a daughter. I have daughters as well and a son. And you notice that time, and we all went through it, where they don't go through a phase. They don't go through school wondering how they're going to make money. They go through school wondering who they are in response to how they're being responded to and like how people are treating them and how they treat others. They develop a sense of morale in the structure of how they're developing through their brain. And then once they get out of school and they develop independency, there is an eye open for finances and in wanting things and seeing how that stuff stacks up, and then career sets in, you know? So, you know, coming in earlier on and telling a kid, hey, how are you going to make money with that earlier on? It might throw them off in their development, because it's like, if I'm offering you Advil when you just went through a breakup, that's not the appropriate kind of help you need in growing in that, you know, into healing out of that. You know what I mean? So I don't know, that kind of segued, but overall, I'm really, and maybe I need to focus on this more, because like, I realized, social media and it's not that I'm like, woe is me kind of thing. It's like social media, where I see my focus in social media, that it's taking a turn and it's hurting us to have to create a certain general pool of content. And this could be me, and we all know how the algorithm has its way, and this could be a reflection of my algorithm. But I'm noticing that the voice that I want to emphasize more in is more on the you can do it side of things, because like, whether anybody wants to, here's the thing, I work in a crisis unit, right? I work at the crisis unit 3 days out of the week, 12 hours, right? And I'm around individuals who are, they want to give up on life. They want to give up on life, and also substance abuse. So there's substance abuse, and there's wanting to give up on life. And then there's, I'm using substance abuses. I'm abusing substances because I want to give up on life. So they're Baker Act or Marchman Act. Right. So when I go to work, it's dense. It's the vibe is dense. These are individuals who have no other, they don't know what else to do, you know? And it comes down to just the economy of like having simple stuff, just not being able to pay their bills. Like, you know what I mean? It's giving me perspective, and I honor it right now. And the amount of time I get now it to create more. Yeah. So I go to say that because, like, you know, when we are creating our artwork, like, when your pencil breaks and it's your last pencil, what do you do and what did you go through? Because these are moments where people quit, you know, and we don't see the moments when people quit. And I'm releasing a class. I created a curriculum of just, a simple blueprint of how to tell a story and how to get it printed, and get it up digitally for, cause Florida has a great program where, we homeschool our children. So, and we have this thing called Step Up for Children. And it's a homeschool funding system, right? So you get a bag of money to make sure your kid gets the best education from home, right? So I've put my course on, you know, create your own comic book. Learn it's a extracurricular activity, but the funding comes from that pool of money, and they can pay to participate in my class and have their kid print out their first comic book and understand that they too can be a part of a convention and live that life. Because I live in Port Charlotte.
That's awesome.
I'm in Port Charlotte. Yeah, in Port Charlotte, kids are crying boredom. which brings them to the crisis unit. You know what I mean? Like, I'm in the crisis unit, in the trenches. I'm listening to the kids tell me that they're bored to death, literally, right? And that more needs to be
done. When you get people that come through that class, I want them, like, we need to have the kids on when they complete the class. Yes. And talk about the experience.
Yes.
Like, that would be an awesome story to tell. Yeah. I'm all about telling the story, too, right? Like you, I'm very about the just do it, right? A lot of episodes that I produce, you know, come out as, you know, inspirational. What's the inspiration behind, you know, like you're going on, you're rambling a great story of inspiration. You know, that's why I haven't said much yet, but it's that kind of thing. It's like, I was the same way. Like, I was inspired, you know, to do this, go through the process of creating my first comic book, right? I've hired an artist, did the whole thing. I have it in my hands. Like, I did the whole process other than drawing, which I did draw this cover, but it inspired, and hopefully I can inspire others to do that. And what you're doing is very inspiring. And when you get through this and like you stay in contact, and I want to, we need to get showcase those kids that go through that with their parents' permission, of course.
Of course, yeah.
You know, but like showcase some of these kids that go through that, and like you said, they can go to a convention, they can be on a podcast, they can, there's more to life. That's why I do this for my daughter. You know, I joke and say my daughter's the real host of the show. I'm just the co-host and do all the work behind it. She's the star of the show. And it's true, because like I'm showing her there's more to life than just working every day. And you know, I take her places, we do things, we travel. Like, as much as I can do, I do for her, for both my kids. And that's what inspires people to, like you said, not cry boredom. Like, there's a whole world out there, the house and city and town you live in.
Yeah, bro, it's becoming, they want to, listen, I say this all due respect. I feel, now, I say this generally, the solution to mental illness is discovering self-worth. Because once you understand, like, I'm in my wife, okay, I'll say this straight up. The reason why we had to, you know, rearrange like the schedule is because we recently lost our baby. She gave birth, the baby passed away, and it was really hard.
I'm sorry to hear
and that. Yeah, it was, I appreciate you, you know, cause I'm like, man, I'm about to get on this podcast and talk to a dad who's in the art world. And, you know, I want to show up properly. And that right then and there, I didn't feel complete. I felt, I went from like working on the comic to then making music to kind of cry through music. So I took a step back. And, you know, my wife is a singer, musician, all the whole nine, cinematographer, you know, she does all the filming. I do all the writing and she converts it. And we're a powerhouse. It just took a toll on her body. We were in the hospital for weeks. And, you know, my 6-year-old and my 11-year-old and my 19-year-old, we're all just camping out at the hospital. And, you know, the baby came through, and it was like we were prepared for it up until it happened. You can never be prepared for like it. And so I just felt like, I don't know, it really made me feel like, in this kind of cliche sort of setup or in response to it, it's like there's no way I can fumble my life at this point. Like, I want to represent that life as we are living it is worth doing what we enjoy, and it can actually be a foundation of our reality. You know what I mean? And I get stuck because I'm crafting out my own blueprint, and there's no woe is me in this, because like I understand that any entrepreneur would understand that they got to kind of go out there and figure it out, that kind of stuff. But I've already committed to doing the personal work first as a human being. And in that's a part of my blueprint as I start to create my comic book and go to conventions and set up the table and add more to the table and have things to sell and understand taxes and all that kind of stuff. And but before that, at where I'm at right now, it's like the emotions, it's high tide. It's going like this a lot. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know who I am. I've been stripped of my identity and I'm navigating.
We were talking about, you know, your identity through all
of
this.
Yeah. No, I remembered. I mean, like after my daughter passed, I was stripped of my identity and wanting to be something specific and less about having a title versus like, what do I need to get done? Like, what actions do I need to take? And that death was like a death that was then relayed to me. I felt like I transformed, and there was the struggle behind that is that my wife and I created a schedule, and it's a reference base. It's just a base of where do we go to when we feel lost in life? Where if at any point in the day we spun around 10 times, and you know, where do we end up when we stop? Okay, so it's Tuesday and it's 3 o'clock. What should we be doing at this time? You know, it's like just in case we ever get lost. And the challenge with that is that I realized when I've developed a system that I felt can curate consistency and an outcome and, you know, just execution, I realized how much the natural tug and pull wanted to sabotage what was working, you know? And I realized that when, cause a lot of my life, like we're very nomadic, you know what I mean? We lived in Atlanta, we had a mural business. We're, you know, I'm not working for a long time because we're writing, we're painting, and then I'll go get a job to help out here and there. We were just really like earthly artists, you know what I mean? Nothing major, not raking in all its kind of money or anything, but just we were paying bills and getting the job done. And sometimes the lights were off and I had to go do whatever to go get that on. And, you know, and luckily my children enjoyed the challenges and it doesn't affect them. You know what I mean? And I think it has a lot to do with mentality. We don't cry poverty. We don't cry, we don't fall apart when things aren't going our way. You know what I mean? It's just that like, okay, the lights aren't working. So digital detox for everyone. You know what I mean? So, and it all goes back. Next thing you know, we're on the acoustic guitar playing music where we get redirected back to our truth, you know? So, you know, it just, but my point is that like the scheduling helps us really, break free from self-sabotage, because I realized how much my natural instinct to go against that self-curated tide in order to do things out of habit and out of safety and out of comfort. For example, I just want to draw. I just want to illustrate this story. And you know, but we have therapy after, you know, the whole experience with our child. We have a lot of therapy we go through, thankfully. So there's that. And then but within the schedule, there's, you know, hubby and wifey day, you know, and there's a family day. And I had to get used to not wanting to do things. To get disciplined, not wanting to do the things that I'm not supposed to be doing on that day, not thinking about how can I finish this page when I'm with loved ones. Because, you know, in the end, for me personally, that's like when we filter out all the noise, the entire day should be filled up with a variety of joy, a variety of joy that it's like, you know, you and I are brothers on a plane here as human beings, but you look the way you look, I look the way I look, we're different, we're unique, and we have something to bring to the table to help each other expand into more as a collective, as a community. And so the same thing that goes for our ecosystem of joy. I would hyperfixate on just one thing out of pain, out of dealing with like angst and insecurity, hiding away from the solution in my art. And people laugh, but it's a real addiction. It's a real addiction to drawing. It's how people get caught up in substances because when you take that route, you kind of numb out the actual opportunities that hurt to deal with the actual pain and to kind of hide away from opportunities to evolve from that. So, you know, I would hide in art and versus confront my challenges and being able to transform. So, you know, not being able to draw all the time has allowed me to grow faster in areas like fatherhood, hubbyhood, showing up for myselfhood. You know what I mean? Like knowing the difference, and I give kudos to my wife for this, but we've had conflict over me not saying that. One kind of challenge I had was being like, well, she's like, you need to have time for yourself. You need to make time for yourself. You need to recover and rejuvenate yourself through like relaxation in some way where your mind isn't going and your body isn't going. And I'm saying, but I love drawing. What do you mean? Like, I want to draw. Like, that's my thing. And so she's like, well, that is well associated with work and monetization and all these expectations. So in essence, she's saying like, you know, you have to take a break from the pillars of expectation. You got to just get off the stage of expecting yourself to be something and becoming something and just be for the sake of living and be. And through that route, you'll feel recharged because it's the expectations that are driving us and giving us these wrinkles. You know what I mean? It's the stress behind wanting to, yeah.
Hide it behind the beard.
Yeah. You see me, right? This beard just sprouted up. I went like this and then I went like that. And I said, oh my God, I have a beard. You know, and I got some wisdom, hair grown out of it. Like
yeah,
you
know what I mean? I got some, yeah.
You look like a sage, you know?
My next comic's going to have a wizard in it. So I'm just practicing growing the beard out for the wizard.
Role play. Yeah. Yeah. But even to go deeper into like familyhood, like my daughter, you know, I'm bridging the gap between hers, you know, we try to run a D&D session, but you have a 6-year-old. You have me and mom, and then you have an 11-year-old. You know, we're all ADHD, undiagnosed, riddled in excitement and joy, and we're all trying to stay focused. My six-year-old, we're trying to play a game that compounds over time, right? Like time. And here we're introducing the game to a 6-year-old and 11-year-old like it's Uno. You know what I mean? But in the end, it disappoints the oldest one because she says like, now she's feeling forced to have to go find other friends to go do this when she wanted to really do it with us. You know what I mean? So our next attempt is to just focus on magic. Magic the Gathering runs a little bit faster. So if we go to 0 to 100 to D&D, maybe we tone it down and we go to magic. There's still some kind of like articulation and some kind of, it ages you in a sense. And experience wise of being able to how to read cards and be systematic and stuff, but it's not as dense on the patient side as D&D, and it could be a bridge. You know what I mean? Because the art is phenomenal. I love the art on the cards, and it's really why I play it. And it's inspirational. So, you know, with my wife being like, do stuff for the sake of play, it kind of hurt in a while a little bit because I felt like I was fighting to keep this identity behind the art itself, the project. And I'm like, whoa, did I suck the joy out of my like the project that I felt was the one that kind of saved my life? That I now just turn it into a freaking Starbucks or something? Like, you know what I mean? Like, You get what I'm did I just do that? And so that's my, like, I'm not going to say I have answers, because that's my day-to-day battle right now. It's waking up and honestly not following the tone of anxiety that I'm surrounded by, when it comes to making my pockets fatter and, like, you know, being like the greatest provider in the world. There's a balance for me there. And I just know that right now, us as a collective, us human beings, we're feeling, at least I'm feeling the pull to want to be more, to find the answers to my true calling, more so than ever. And I feel more sacrificial in a sense, but I'm noticing where to focus. What do I need to cut off in that sacrificial sense? Obviously not my family. This is not like one of those old seven. It's like not back in the 70s, or, you know, we just kind of leave the family to go off to be an artist or whatever. You know what I mean? Right. It's not like that kind of thing, but it's realized, like, peeling back the layers of the ego and finding what is in resonance and at flow with the family versus forcing something upon the family and telling them, you guys got to live like this because I'm aiming for this goal, and having them just kind of support me, be selfish. And that's just the dance right now. You know what I mean? Like, I get bothered by how much content I can't put out, but that's my ego wanting me to operate off volume. You know what I mean? And, you know, like, the creator of One Punch Man, he has a very heartfelt story, because he chose to do it he grew deeper into his passion at the level that most wish to have notary, like to have the animations and all that kind of, he got there out of being kind of shy. Like, he posted his artwork online, and that's all it really took, was just literally just being consistent. That just that boils down to the equation of what it takes to get people to want to enjoy your work. Because I have something to share with you, and I'm always at the door like, hey, guess what? I got something that you would be really interested in. Oh my God. And that's what I truly believe is the sensation of when we choose to gift give. When they say, hey, you gotta, like, use your gifts. And they're like, oh, how do I know what my gift is? Well, it's like, what's the one thing you're super excited to share with someone? Because that in itself is the gift that keeps giving, right? It's like, I have something that I want to share with you, but it's the excitement behind me wanting to give you that gift, because I have an idea that you would just blow up about it, you know? But what taints that is that, like, we create and we're building the narratives and we're building the stories, and we have to go through that world of deep articulation and making it something so in resonance with an audience that, you know, coming out of that, you know, thanks to being able to pitch and thanks to being able to, you know, briefly share the story and moments. Cause I go to the conventions. When I go to the conventions, I'm just very, like, happy with meeting new people and being able to pitch them the story and see them resonate with what there is to offer there. You know what I mean? Like, that's beautiful. Being able to say, hey, this is what my story's about. And they go, wow, tell me more. Or I'm in. You know, hearing people say, I'm locked in. I'm in. Sometimes I'm like, oh, you don't want me to finish my sentence or say more? But I watched a video about a guy. He said, hey, sometimes when you, the biggest mistake people make when closing a deal is that they continue to try to sell the deal when it's already been signed. You know what I mean? So I realized that at conventions, like, I don't really need to keep on pitching and all that kind of stuff. They're sold. I could potentially talk someone out of it. You know what I mean? So, you know, so I've learned that. And I say that, you know, but yeah, more or less, bro, for me, like, my life right now is like, I have a bunch of stories. And you know, we all do. I'm sure you got a bunch of stories in your head, and you're just taking it one page at a time with where you're at, with the story you're at. And you know what I mean? And I had to be okay with, they might not all be told in today's lifetime. And I had to make peace with that. And so I had to further slow myself down and be with the, you know, one stroke at a time, one inking line at a time, because it's when my daughter comes up to me while I'm drawing and she asks me, what, you know, why am I drawing it like that? You know, that right there is really why I'm doing it in the end. You know what I mean? Not just for her in that sense. It is for her and she gets the front row seats to that. But I realize anything more than that is a cherry on top. And I get to live my life knowing that I'm with my kids. I'm performing in the arts as at the highest level that I wish to. And I want to continue to go higher. But at the end of the day, at least this foundational setup right here, I get to kind of like lay into it and come up out of it to continue to keep, you know, enjoying the sweetness and the fruits of what I choose to put in and being consistent, having a schedule, and, you know, all of that develops fruits in the end. And, you know, so my daughter in the car, we're driving to karate. She's like, I want you to quit the, you know, I want you to quit working at the crisis unit. And we go, why? She's like, I liked it when you didn't have a job. You're so much fun when you didn't have a job. And then, and it's like, and I say, hey, what we're working on right now is we're going to travel to conventions. You're going to be with me at my table. We're going to have the hotels. You can go to the hotels whenever you want and have the setup. And to me, honestly, bro, I'm going to tell you straight up, there's a fine line between us saving the money and all that kind of stuff. But there's this one musician, I forget his name. He's an African guy. I think he's African. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. But there's a musician who won't go to shows and perform. He's high level. He won't perform if he can't take his family. Like, he goes on stage with his wife, who was pregnant at the time, with his kids, and they're all there. They got mics and they're hanging out. And, you know, he's the epitome of what culture looks like when family is included in that culture. And that went home with me. And, you know, but from birth, when me and my wife had, you know, when we were shooting films, like, the children, all they know is being on sets, being behind the restaurants as we're painting or after hours painting. Like, they've always got to be on that side of the table. So when right. I'm at work, it's not normal. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, because they're not with you.
Yeah, they're not with me, and they're just not seeing me. They're not seeing me grow. They just see me come home with, you know, trying to recover from the crisis unit, because it sticks to you a little bit, you know? But I told her we're gonna have a nice table. We're gonna have our merch and all that kind of stuff. You can either have your because they're artists. You can have your stickers and stuff. Or you can go to the hotel and you can stay in the pool with mom and check back in. But we're going to do it so it's a lifestyle. And that's what every moment where I apply myself is aiming to, that being able to travel. These children, they love hotels, like, they love it. So they want a hotel youthful life. Like, let's do it. You know what I mean? And I'm there for it. And then obviously as a dad, I'm still figuring out how to think a little bit ahead of that. Like, you know, we bought some Pokemon cards, and we buy Pokemon cards, and we're like, we should buy these Pokemon cards and just put them in a trust, you know, and just like have a real imaginary treasure box. Cause sometimes people look at the trust as a treasure box, you know what I mean? So it's like, we can do the life insurance stuff and all that kind of jazz, but like, let's just put like really cool stuff in our trust amongst other things that make sense. But I guess it all circles back into like being present with your kids and your family, and like your art will evolve. I have to tell myself my art will thrive out of putting my family first, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Because they are the ones kind of orchestrating a realm of inspiration, and when you have their support, oh my God, when you have the support from your family, those moments when you're vulnerable and you're falling and you want to quit, because I'm going to tell you, no one knows this, but I feel like quitting a lot. I feel like quitting. Just today, I was just like, I don't know if, you know, And I don't want to be macho about it because a lot of the time it's like, oh, don't ever say you'll quit. I come from a very competitive background. I was a high performing athlete as a soccer player. And like the last thing you'll ever hear me say is, oh, I want to quit or anything. You know what I mean? You know, my kids, they are really great kickboxers. They're doing their katas, they're performing and all that kind of stuff. And the last thing I'll do is tell them to quit, you know, but in the kitchen, I was like, I got to say this because I feel like being vulnerable and they look up to me in some ways. And I just need to be honest. I said, guys, because like they're pointing out my page. They're looking, my page is kind of, they're in the house. So they're looking at my artwork and they're like, man, you know, why is this like that? What's going on with this? Like they were starting to help me fix it. I'll say positively speaking, they were helping me fix it. But because it's like inked and penciled and I'm just like, it's not digital. So when they're making the corrections, mind you, I am like crashing off of coffee and I had some beets in my sandwich that the B12 from the beets made me go crazy. I don't know what it is. I blew a fuse and I had to go take a nap. It was weird. And so I just fell out of it and they were just like, hey, shouldn't the symbols on these like slanted mushrooms that are supposed to look like the city, since the mushrooms kind of tilted, shouldn't the logo of their shouldn't their sigil slant alongside? And I'm like, yes, you know, you're right, but it hurt so much at that time to receive the critique, and the workload that I put onto myself that might not be true. I'm in the kitchen looking at the dishes and feeling like I gotta take them to karate. Looking at the dishes and I'm thinking I gotta correct this. Mind you, I want to release a page once a week. So here's the setup, right? My wife is watercoloring the images. However, I owe her the second novel to the first book because I wrote I crafted a trilogy and I finished book one of the novel, and it's her favorite book. It's literally one of the pillars of our marriage, you know. And so it's like when I neglect this book that I'm supposed to be writing, it hurts her. It hurts her because it told such a story. It was the coming of us together and family and all that kind of stuff. It's about a girl who rescued over 100 rabbits from a serial killer trying to harm them. It's mythical and it's magical. And she becomes like the mother of rabbits in this like take them to the promised land type of way. So it's a 3-book trilogy of her going from a location in California in the middle of the woods where she meets all types of stuff to, you know, being on a boat that's a cruise where all of this crazy stuff goes down on a cruise, then to the location on the island where they experience the next level of rabbithood. It's the Goonies meets Watership Down. So yeah, to put things there. Yeah, so she wants me to finish the second book. I'm like on the 20th chapter. I probably got like 10 to 15 more to go. So the agreement is while she watercolors and paints and, you know, finalizes like renders on her end the image, I'm working and writing on the novel, right? And so just getting there has been a challenge within our schedule. She has therapy. I'm working with the kids, or I'm still setting up my courses for the thing. So mm-hmm. like, there's like this type of stuff. You are prompted to give up. It's like you feel like you're set up to give up, but when you don't, you realize that you build a tolerance for the life that you're creating, like the future you. You know, you mean you know, you're like you stack on more plates now so that it just becomes easier over time. It becomes, you know, 20 pounds feel like 50 pounds at first, but then the 50, you know what I mean? So, you know, and I'm learning. And like, that's why I'm very thankful to hop on here, because like, I've been very quiet. I've been struggling with content, so to speak. After our daughter passed away, I've just not been feeling like talking to people. I've not felt like wanting to, I've been wanting to hide behind creating and pitching and going hard, but I didn't want to get into that competitive space of like, you know, do it for my daughter kind of thing. I wanted to be like, okay, she does not want me to get lost in the sauce spiraling back into crash burnout. She does not want me there. She wants me to live long term. She wants me to live the rest of my life in the way that I prefer. So we just got to get to work on that. That's where my energy shall be channeled. So instead of quitting my job right now, I'm going to honor it. And it's blessing me with 4 days off. And I'm going to use that 4 days off strategically. Mind you, like today, there was like, there's kind of like a domestic situation, a domestic violent situation going on in the neighborhood, like across from my home. So here I am getting up ready, following my schedule. I go to do my admin work at, you know, so by 1 o'clock I can start working on these pages. But then I get a knock on the door from the gentleman saying, hey, I need you to call the cops. I need you to call the cops. Next thing you know, I'm over there, you know, sacrificing my time, helping them do what I like, helping them with what I do at work, de-escalation. And, you know, that ended up taking out of my time, but like, I felt like, you know, it's been going on and I'm protecting my kids by stepping up and just saying, being aware of it versus turning a blind eye. And it's just like, cause they're neighbors. But the issue was, is that they were careless, loud, and traumatizing the neighborhood. And I'm familiar with traumatic situations. So I went there to kind of just say, hey, you separate, you go relax over there. You go relax over there. Oh, you want to go for a drive? Okay, go for the drive. No, no, no. Let her go for the drive because she wants to cool off. Let her go do that. You can clean up the glass, pick it up so that when she gets home, it's comfortable. And, you know, at least for yourself. So you don't step on the glass. The puppies don't step on the glass. That kind of jazz, right? The whole neighborhood calls the cops on them and whatever. But my point to that is that, like, I didn't schedule that.
No.
You get what I'm saying? I didn't schedule that. The whole morning up until karate went by, to the point where I said, you know what? If all else fails, be thankful that you're going to be meeting up with AJ and you're going to talk and you set the intention. I got certain slight milestones, but it was such an overstimulated morning. And then I turned my back around. And then I'm in couples therapy, and I'm like, wow, I forgot about couples therapy. So I'm in couples therapy for an hour, right? And I get out, and then, you know, so the whole name of the game is like, no matter what system you put in play, life is gonna life. Life is going to life, and that's where it's constant. It's indifferent. So it's not judge. It's not at you. It's you wanting what you want, so you're placed in a position to redirect yourself due to the experiences you're having in life. So my whole thing is to be chill. So like, of course I'm gonna be thrown. I want less anxiety, right? So of course everything is gonna give me anxiety for me to respond without anxiety, right? Like, it's like, how do you get in the dojo and spar? How do you want to be a better fighter if you don't go in the dojo and fight, right? Like, you need to get some hits. You got to get, you know, you got to get some experience, right? So life is very smart. So, and I won't think less of it. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, I know I'm rambling.
You just got to take the next step. That's what life's all about. Take that next step.
One page at a time. In our case, one panel at a time, brother, because one panel is an hour, you know, for me. You know, I want to go faster on my panels, but like, there's a lot that goes down in one panel in life and while I'm drawing. So like, it is literally one panel at a time, one word at a time. And just trusting that whatever you got done at the end of the day was what was needed to get done, because you have to trust yourself that you are doing what you're doing. Otherwise, make some changes. You know what I mean? If you know, I'm doing reps. I'm working on doing reps and saying I love you more. You know what I mean? Like, I struggle. It's not that I struggle. It's just that I don't. You know, when I leave, I'm making sure that like I've said my goodbyes properly, because like I'm looking around and seeing at I'm looking at on a strict scale. Like, what do I value and how do I want to be valued by my family? Right. So it's like these things really matter to me. And I can't expect anyone to do them if I'm not doing them. So that's really what it comes down is just being more heartfelt, being superbly creative, superbly. And that just doesn't mean illustration. That means navigating conflict with loved ones and finding solutions, because creativity, I feel, my personal definition, my made up definition is to creativity is solving problems. And if you can solve a problem, because in your illustrations or whatever you're doing, your storytelling, you know, you can come up with, you can have writer's blocks and all that kind of stuff, or not being able to get the hand to look the way you want. You can work on the hand 1,000 times to, you want it to look like this, but it's not hitting. And it's like, you know, the solution that you get out of that comes from you not judging yourself, not overdoing it with yourself, not pushing yourself too hard. You get in resonance with yourself to the point where you pump the brakes and you start to fall back into a, this is not so serious. And so then the answer starts to reveal itself. Next thing you know, you realize the hand should have never been like this to begin with. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. So then you learn to find a solution, which is creativity in the end. You know what I mean? You've navigated life, found a solution, and now you've just expanded because you've just evolved from, you leaped from one realm to the next just from figuring out how you want to get that hand down, you know?
You leveled up. That's my favorite. That's my favorite expression. Use the D&D expression. I love D&D, by the way.
Yeah. Oh my God.
You level up, right? Like when I had Stephanie Phillips on, we leveled up, right? When I had Stephanie Williams on last week, and the episode will come out tomorrow, you know, but you level up when you have these people on. I leveled up just by meeting you today. Like,
oh man. This,
it's, yeah, I mean, I'm inspired by you today, and I hope we can talk more often. I really want to.
Oh, yeah.
Even offline. So,
yeah, my goal, honestly, is to, really connect with dads who are in the trenches with me, you know, because that's where it's at. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What was the time length on our video?
Whatever we wanted. I have no.
Okay.
I know you got a kids coming to the car soon.
Yeah. They're starting to come in, and then my wife and I do the kickboxing.
Yeah.
When their class is over, because after the whole like pregnancy stuff, you know, mm-hmm. want to get fit again and all that stuff. So
yeah,
we're going to go practice.
I'm going to ask you one question. I normally have a whole list of fun questions and a whole list of just generic questions, but I want you to answer this one question. If your life were a comic book, what would the title be?
God. Oh my God.
Jack and the Journey.
Literally Jack and the Journey.
There you go.
I wanted to get clever with that one, and I wanted to like really, but my wife just whispered off to the side that like
I heard her. Kinda,
yeah, she, you know, I got the shirt on, so
yep,
yeah,
that's literally. Awesome.
And here's why, right? In a world where I felt like my voice didn't have any relevancy, right? At the time, I drew a character. It didn't look like how we have him today. But I would just illustrate in sketchbooks a man in a top hat with a mushroom coming out of it, jumping from clouds to clouds, floating mushrooms to mushrooms, wandering down endless stairs into different little portals that led to other realms. And I called him Jack. You know, my name is Jaquan Jackson. My pseudonym is NJ Jackson. My son's name is Jacoby Zen. So I took the Zen name at my first name, and his name is Jack too. Someone in high school used to call me Jack, and I love Jack and Daxter. So that J-A-K just all aligned. But more importantly, thematically, the story became something very philosophical to me, and it just became something that I wanted to. It's like a journal entry, but it's becoming more entertaining over time. And as I understand themes, as I understand what messages I want to send and share, I'm able to really reflect through my life and see where it's really impact. Like I can work on the story and it can teach me a lesson. You know,
well, I 100% agree. I'm going to call this part one. Because I don't think we're done.
No.
And it may not be next week, it may not be next month, but we're going to do this again.
Yeah.
I would love to have you back on at some point, especially if you have something else come out or whatever, please let me know. We'll get you on. Love to talk to you about the, you know, the course you're doing. I want to stay in contact about that. I know you got to get going. So I appreciate you being on Talking Comics with me. This has been really fun. I normally have an intro and we go on whatever, but it was amazing meeting you and I'm glad we met. And I, you know, I want to tell you if you need anything or need somebody to talk to, I'll be here. Like, you let me know.
AJ, so, I know it. I can already feel it. I'm going to email you information to keep in touch with me.
Yeah, please do.
We don't just talk about comics. We made one.
And it's called The Chronicles of Pam and Pete.
At Talking Comics, we interview creators, show off our comic calls,
play fun games, and show what we're learning firsthand.
Get a free preview of The Chronicles of Panel Pete by subscribing to our Substack.
Watch the trailer and all the video episodes on YouTube.
Or listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow along, like, subscribe.
Trying to start a podcast but feeling stuck? At Aquatio, we help creators make waves with everything you need to bring your voice to life. Hosting, recording, editing, and marketing. Whether you're starting from scratch or just need a little help polishing your sound, we're here to hydropower your creativity. Comment on this video or DM us today and let's dive in.